Let's head down that electric avenue right now and talk with our man Rick Flatford, Fox Sports, who, of course, covers the Atlanta Falcons and joins us every Wednesday during the football season. Happy draft day, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Bill? And thanks for inviting me back. It seems like every time I do a little run with you, the Falcons go on a crash and burn diet, and inevitably they seem to come through in that, in their wishes, I guess.
Well, we're scared to death of that, Rick, for sure. We're nervous about it. We were talking earlier about the rumors that are out there that I know you told me about last night that we wondered about of whether they were going to move into the top 10 and do something. I think Ian Rappaport is reporting that the Falcons are one of the two or three teams that are trying to get into the top 10. In your talks with people and what you're hearing, if they do want to move into the top 10, who's it for?
This totally shocks me, but I'm hearing Ed Oliver. They're trying to actually get into the top seven is what I'm being told, which either leads me to believe it'd be Ed Oliver or Josh Allen. I don't know how that necessarily shakes out. There's a lot.
Oh my God.
So you got the same reaction I do. I tell you who I would get into, you know, maybe the top seven, top five for, and I don't even know that he'd be available. Quinnen Williams.
Thank
Super
you.
Good football player, and obviously he's an SEC guy. Alabama, big time player. Anytime you get somebody from the SEC, you're typically going to do pretty well. But there's some real pitfalls in here, and you know the fact that they could draft somebody like Greedy Williams. This name has come out of nowhere since about noon today, and he's not a first round pick in my estimation, and most folks I've been on the air with today, not one person has thought it's a good idea to move up to get Greedy Williams. Not that he's going to not be a solid NFL player for a long time, but not with this pick.
Well, and Rick, our good friend, both of us love D. Orlando Ledbetter a great deal, but D. Orlando, Daryl has put Greedy Williams in his mock drafts the last three times going to Atlanta at 14, and yet every mock draft I see from the national people don't have Greedy in the first round. They can't do that, can they?
I am, you know, a couple of things that have happened, I'm just shaking my head. It just kind of reminds me of going back to the Vic Beasley pick. I was never a big fan of picking Vic Beasley before they chose him. I mean, obviously now it's a no-brainer. And you and I both know during the season and certainly at the end of the season, it was a no-brainer that he wasn't coming back. I mean, they never even considered it. And I know Vic Beasley's family, and they had already talked about a free agency issue. And bam, next thing you know, they sign him. I think that's some way of putting on some lipstick for some bad picks they've had. But, and I know I'm kind of getting away from the draft a little bit here, but the Vic Beasley pick reminds me of like a Jamal Anderson-type pick. I mean, you spent a lot and really didn't get anything. But let's talk about some players that could be good picks for him. Christian Wilkins from Clemson, what a player. Cody Ford, solid player. I mean, and that's a kid that you probably don't even need to move up for. I think if you see them move up, first of all, if they do move up into the top seven, they're going to spend way too much to get there. But if they don't, look for them to take maybe Cody Ford if he's still there. And that second and third round, I think they're going to start collecting some picks and trying to trade to go up in the second round and maybe get rid of some picks later in the draft. I don't know that that always accomplishes anything. I don't think this is a particularly deep draft for that. I mean, there's some top players for sure. I wouldn't want to be the Cardinals. Can you imagine the Cardinals after picking Rosen and then now all of a sudden you're going to pick somebody like Kyler Murray? Not that he's terrific. Not that he's not a terrific athlete, but they have so many other issues, Bill. This is kind of one more thing staring them in the face. And if they screw this up, this could be really ugly.
Well, I said yesterday, Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff are in a position with these additional picks where they could really do some great things to set this team up for the 2020s. But they can't afford to do that, Rick, because their jobs are on the line, right? It's a different mindset with them because if they screw this up and this season goes in a bad direction, they're gone.
I believe that, and I think they believe that. I've been told by, somebody at Flowery Branch that they've been told flat out, and especially for Dimitroff, this will be the second time in five years he's gone through something like this. And whether you say he had a big hand in the Mike Smith situation the way that worked out. I'm one of those guys. I think he single-handedly was responsible for it. And in this situation, he's certainly half of the team. So I think you clean house. This is one time, I was told this is one offseason that Matt Ryan was excited he's going to get some old faces that he's familiar with back on the offensive side of the football, with Dirk Cutter. And, you know, he's going to be happy about things like that. He's excited, but he's less optimistic going into this season than he's had been in any season other than his second season, his first season with the Falcons.
Yeah, Rick, you're not making me feel good about this, man. I'm not surprised by what you're saying, because I feel the same way. And Rick, we're sitting here 3.5 hours before the draft, and usually I am bat you know what crazy with excitement about what's going to happen. And I'm more nervous about them screwing this up by doing something like Ed Oliver. Let's talk about that for a moment. Ed Oliver is a short defensive tackle. That is Grady Jarrett part two. If they take Ed Oliver or trade up to get Ed Oliver, is that a sign that this bull crap about Grady Jarrett being a Falcon for life was exactly that?
I think that's the case. And I'm going to be honest. I think Grady Jarrett doesn't think that he's going to be a Falcon for life.
Really?
He doesn't think that. He doesn't think they're committed to him at all. Now, Grady's become a little bit more of a standoffish player the last couple of years, I think. Certainly after the Super Bowl, we all kind of felt like, you know, maybe his ego got to him a little bit. And really, after spending some time with him a little bit, I realized it was just more him being fed up with the disrespect that he's shown. And I just don't think that he plays this like he's going to be here long term. I think he wants to be. You know, he's a hometown kid. You know, he's excited. He thinks. I spoke to him last week, actually. He thinks this defense being healthy could be good. There's some depth issues. But no matter what you do, if I'm the quarterback and you can't put pressure on me and get in my face, at some point I'm going to complete a pass. I mean, it may not be a good one. It may look ugly, and it may be for negative yards, but I'm going to throw it to one of my team members. So think about that. You know, all the injuries they had last year, that defense was terrible. They couldn't stop anybody. But the biggest thing, even when they started to settle in a little bit, was they still couldn't get pressure on the quarterback. Where does that come from now? We still have that same issue. And with what's going on with Tack McKinley, who knows how that plays out?
Well, and Rick, you mentioned Josh Allen. All right. And I'm tying this into your discussion there about rushing the passer. Did you go to Lexington for the Georgia-Kentucky game?
I did not.
Okay. All right. I didn't either, but when I was watching the game, I was texting with my buddies. We were just talking about this a moment ago, and I was wondering if Josh Allen actually even played because Georgia neutralized him so much. Now, you mentioned Josh Allen, and you said you heard that as a possibility. Do you think they'd go after Josh Allen or trade up to get Josh Allen? And if that's the case, here's the thing, though, Rick. If that's the case, what the heck are they doing bringing Vic Beasley back?
Yeah, that's the
makes
first
no sense, does it?
That. Yeah, exactly. And you may have just drafted Vic Beasley's replacement, who's Vic Beasley. Because I know I actually, you know, looking through some tape and studying notes, I don't think he played really well against Alabama either when he played, or Tennessee, was it? Anyway, he had games where he stood out. Most of those games were single coverage, meaning he wasn't even getting chipped from a running back or help from a tackle or whatever. So those are the kind of things that would really scare you. I mean, that stuff should be really scary if you're a Falcon fan and if you're Falcons front office. Can you imagine how uptight they may be right now, just thinking, wow, if we screw this up, I mean, how ugly is this going to be? I will say this about the linebacker from Michigan, whose name all of a sudden has Devin White, I believe I'm trying to spit out there.
Well, Devin White's the LSU kid. Devin Bush is the Michigan kid.
Right, my bad.
There's two Devin. I get them mixed up all the time too, Rick. There's two Devins who play linebacker.
Yep, my bad there. And no disrespect to either one of those; they're quality players. But to me, he reminds me of Weatherspoon. Weatherspoon, whom we drafted from Missouri, and for whatever the reason, his first name escapes me all of a sudden.
Sean.
Yeah, thank you so much. But is he not like Sean Weatherspoon? So at Missouri, they talked about all this potential, even though he never really was a totally dominant player. He never had one full season of domination. you're looking at this same thing with the Michigan kid. Yeah, they talk about all of his upside and, boy, he can do this and he can do that. He got outplayed several times. They didn't feel like he was undercoached. They just felt like he underperformed. So why would you go crazy on this kid? That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, but again, he's one of those Devin Bush. I mean, I heard somebody say the other day he's the best player in the draft. Then he's been anywhere from 4 to 10. You know, he's fallen back a little bit now. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, I know they need linebacker help, but I don't want to go to LSU for another daggum defensive player. They've gone to that well too much already, haven't they? Even Greedy, they don't need to go to LSU again for another defensive player.
Yeah, you mean Duke Riley wasn't good?
No, Duke Riley is not good. I hate to tell Brotherhood Man that, but he ain't good.
Hey, and you know, I think you and I combined have more tackles than he does. And he certainly has more whiffs than we do. I've never seen anybody settle in the hole and go to level somebody and not even grab air. I mean,
you know what? Hey, Rick, you just brought up a good point, though. I want to jump on this for a minute. When Duke Riley was drafted, everybody said, well, hold on now. What are you doing? You just drafted Deion Jones. Now you drafted his replacement at LSU, Duke Riley, to come in and kind of be the same kind of player. All right, we talked earlier about the fact that if they go at Oliver, that's basically going after maybe Grady Jarrett's replacement. You talked about then, you know, Josh Allen. Could that be Vic Beasley's replacement? Can't you just get the best daggum player on the board at 14 and not blow all your draft picks for somebody who might be, like you say, maybe if it's another Vic Beasley or Deion Jones, or not Deion Jones, Duke Riley. If it's another Vic Beasley or Duke Riley, we're going to have a new coaching staff and a GM, which, hell, maybe the what we need anyway.
Yeah, that may be a year too late, right?
Yeah.
I will say the best thing in my mind that could happen right now is nothing. It plays out the way most folks have laid the draft out, and they end up with a solid pick like a Cody Ford at offensive tackle. I mean, that that's not sexy, you know, but it's solid. I mean, that's nobody's going to make fun of you probably next year or the year after versus, I mean, let's look at some of the draft picks that Thomas Dimitroff has had over the years. I mean, they're terrible. I mean, and they just can't afford a shoot and miss right now. They just can't.
Well, and Daniel Jeremiah, I don't know if you saw his mock draft, but he had
Cody. He's good.
Yeah, he had Cody Ford going at 14, and he said the Falcons love Christian Wilkins, but Wilkins was gone at 13 to Miami in the pick before. If they sat at 14 and got either Wilkins or Ford, we ought not to complain, right?
I would agree with that. I think that's solid. Not spectacular, but I go back to, I know you and I exchanged a text about this. Just think if they would have played their last few ball games different last year. They wouldn't even need to be trading right now. How stupid is that?
It was awful. I mean, just awful. And the bravado of how great it was to win that game so they could finish 7-9 and fall 6 spots in the first round was more stupid than anything, to be honest with you. And that's what I just can't take, because I don't want a coach to come out and say, hey, by gosh, we're glad we lost. We're going to be 8th pick in the draft. But don't brag about the fact that you won and you're going from 8 to 14. That's not going to do the fan base any good. I just, you know, anyway. Well, it's going to be an interesting night. And, you know, the scary part is, I think, that they are kind of in a win-now desperate situation, which means you don't know what they could do to be a little more reactionary, or I don't know. I'm with you, though. I hope that they just kind of wait at 14 and see where it falls. And, heck, I wouldn't mind if they traded back, Rick.
I tell you what, I heard that the last hour I was on a West Coast show, a call-in show, and one of the Falcons fans out there in L.A. said, what's wrong with going backwards here? So Cody Ford's not sexy, even Christian Wilkins, not sexy. But you could give up that 14 pick and pick up another late first round, and maybe even a second round pick, and still end up with, say, a Montez Sweat maybe, who I think, quite honestly, that might be the real solid pick at 16. If he goes at 16 like everybody has him going to Carolina, I believe it is, that kid's a player, an SEC player. You know he's got the motor for it. There'd be nothing wrong with that pick, in my opinion, either.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. It is a lot of scenarios to play out for certain. Rick Flatford's been our guest from Fox Sports. Great stuff, my friend. Thank you so much. You'll probably be hearing from me tonight.
Or you'll be hearing from me one way or another. I'm sure we'll be going back and forth. But thanks for always for the invite. You got a great show. You've done a great job, and I'm glad to see you writing again. Love reading it.
Hey, thank you, Rick. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Bill.